Hey. Hey. Have you ever noticed how we're different and the same and the same and we're different and we're different and the same? All kinds of people. All kinds of people. All kinds of people in the world.
Now, on the Talk of Muncie, WMUN. All kinds of people. Hosted by Dr. Joe Moshevitz. Getting to know the people of Muncie and Delaware County, Indiana, in a way you've never heard before. It's another way we're using our voice to build our community from Woof Boom Radio and 92.5 FM, 1340 AM, WMUN. Here's your host, Dr. Joe.
Hey, 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 everybody. Happy Monday, and welcome to All Kinds of People. I hope you're all doing fine this morning. I am delighted to have Barbara Louise Schaefer drop by the studios. Barbara, the co-owner of Gordy Fine Art and Framing. And Barb, thanks for taking a break from framing to come down to Woof Boom Studios.
Hey, I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to get all the questions you're going to be throwing my way.
Oh, I'm going to throw a whole bunch of questions your way, especially when we go back to some of the historical things that you've worked on over the years, because I think a lot of people that come into the wonderful shop next to the Civic Theater know what you do there, but I've done some deep digging into your background that we're going to get into. Thank you. So, but I want to start off by backing up. Share some information with the audience about growing up in Logansport, the family. Did you have any siblings? What kinds of things were the family involved in back in Logansport? Take me back there.
Oh, well, we moved to Logansport in the 70s. I actually was born on the East Coast, and my parents are from the East Coast. My dad was in the cement industry, so that's what brought us to Logansport. It was a big cement plant.
So your early years were on the East Coast?
On the East Coast, and moved around a lot, actually. And then my dad was in the cement industry, and there's a big cement plant outside of Logansport. So he became the plant manager there in the 70s, and so that's what brought us to Logansport. So I have a younger brother and sister. I'm a proud Barry. I was in theater when I was at Logansport and speech team. Those were the two big things I did in Logansport. My mom was a teacher. They were really involved in the community, you know, chaired United Way, did all Rotary, all that other stuff. I grew up in a family that really focused on community.
And one curiosity, on the speech team,
was
there any events that you really cherished?
Well, we traveled throughout the state. We had a really good speech team from Logansport, and so we traveled throughout the state and would do different competitions, and we would and I really enjoyed it because I think it gave me the ability to speak in public and plan out a speech. But I just enjoyed theater. I just enjoyed all of that and listening to other people give speeches and just pick up from other people. But it was a great experience. I thought it was just wonderful.
Okay. And in theater, were you active on stage or behind the scenes?
I did a little both. I was active on stage. Can't Take It With You, which is a famous 1930. I was in that. It was Mrs. Sycamore. Is it Sycamore?
Yeah.
We did Around the World in 80 Days and those types of things. So I was also the stage manager as well. So I had to make sure everyone got on and everything got on and off the stage.
But very
I also
important. Acted.
So
Thank
I did
you.
All parts of theater. So I always enjoyed that.
Yeah. Okay, good. So graduate of Hanover.
Yes.
In history and secondary education, made me think, going to follow in mom's footsteps and teach?
Well, I was. I went to Hanover to become a high school teacher. But then my senior year at Hanover, I got an internship at a museum in Louisville, Kentucky, and realized that with my history degree, I could go into museums and work in historical sites. So I went on and got my master's in something called museum science.
You did, from Eastern Illinois, thank you. Historical administration.
Historical administration, but museum science is another term that explains it a little bit better.
I kept looking at historical administration thinking, what is that? But okay, you clarified it. That's good.
So, it teaches you how to work in archives and historical museums and education and caring for objects. And so then I went on into the history field in museums.
Okay. And any regrets about not teaching?
No, I still think I still always considered myself a teacher. I just did it in the museum setting. So I love education. I love teaching people. But I just like doing it in that setting. I think if I was in a classroom, I probably wouldn't have done as well as I did in the museum world. So.
No, I can relate to that sometimes, thank you, given my background as well. So this whole area of appraisal, that's been part of your career path for a variety of different groups and things.
Yes.
What's the challenges of looking at somebody's art and putting a value on it? I'm fascinated by that. As I've been a fairly regular attender to museums and things at Minna Tristan and down in Indianapolis, mm-hmm. and sometimes I shake my head saying, "Really?" And other times, "Wow, what? How do you get into that?"
So an appraisal is actually based on factual information of what something sells on the market. So you actually look at auctions. And you actually look at what the selling price is. So when you ask me for an appraisal, you're asking me to put a value that's based on fact.
Okay.
So that really narrows it down. I'm not just guessing. I'm looking at how things have sold recently on the market. And then I give you a value based on that. So some things are selling higher. Some things are selling lower. It's like the stock market. I mean, art is a stock market. Sometimes something's very valuable and sometimes it's not. And you just have to watch the markets.
And are there artistic trends
that
come and go?
Yeah, I mean, there's artistic trends that come and go, but there's also what people like to buy and what the generation of buyers are finding interesting at the time.
And how is it that you and Carl track that information on a broader scale?
So, well, fortunately now with the internet, there are websites and databases we are members of that we just can keep watching, especially the auction houses, what happens across the country and auction and internationally. We know what things are selling for. So, like, you can type in, if I know I'm going to be appraising a certain object, I can type in the artist's name, and they'll send me updates on what that artist is doing.
Oh, okay.
So, like, Bob Ross is the big one. I mean, that's the big one that's now everyone wants to watch Bob Ross prices.
Very big in Muncie right now.
Right, it's big nationally too. So people are interested because Bob Ross's pieces got everywhere throughout the country through the way he donated his things to public, television and radio auctions.
Yeah.
And so it's just watching things.
I'm also curious about some of the work you've done with the Muncie Children's Museum.
Yes.
I think you spent 10 years?
Then? Yeah, and I'm still writing grants for them.
Yeah, it's the grants administration.
Yeah.
I'm not a big grant writer, but I know how involved they can really be.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like, trying to help build up that whole Muncie Children's Museum for those years?
It was great fun. I mean, grants, I always think a grant writer is an interpreter. So it's the interpreter of the goals and the strategic planning of an organization. And so you're interpreting it so you can link into donors and the reviewers of the foundations and the donors. And you help them make connections with what their goals are of the donor or the foundation and what the goals are of the organization. So it's just linking them together.
So if I say I want to start attracting elementary school kids, is that a focus that you would spin off on then and pursue?
And then you'd also want to know, why is it important to bring elementary school kids into the Children's Museum?
Okay.
What are they learning when they're at the Children's Museum? So you have to know the mission of why, exhibits are designed for a certain way to elicit a certain type of learning. So you have to make those types of connections.
Which is a lot of detail work, thank you.
Yeah, it's a lot of research and detail, but that's how most museums get to where they are, is because they've made connections to the community. Why is it important to the community that our children learn this way? And so, museums are informal learning opportunities that can take what you're learning in the classroom and actually be the practice field for what you learn in the classroom in the museums.
And make a connection between those two.
And make a connection,
yep. I just can't imagine spending the time that you've had to spend digging through all the various options to secure some grants and do other things like that and put those writings together.
Well, it's being a history major, because when you're a history major, you're a good researcher.
But
you learn to write.
And you do focus on certain kinds of history.
Yes.
But, I guess it takes you back to your days at Hanover and pursuing that history thing. We're going to come back with Barbara Louise Schaefer after this break, and I want to pursue some things that she did at the Rome Historical Society way back when. So stay with us. We'll be back with Barb in just a moment.
WMUN's All Kinds of People. Back to Dr. Joe.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to All Kinds of People. I'm having a delightful chat with Barbara Louise Schaefer, the co-owner of Gordy Fine Art and Framing in Muncie, Indiana. And Barb, I want to talk a little bit about you and Carl, your husband. You go to graduate school. You wrap up historical administration degree from Eastern Illinois. And Rome Historical Society in Rome, New York says, hey, we got a job opening. Carl, you want to come to New York and leave your job at the Indianapolis Museum? Give us a little background on this transition.
Yeah,
please.
So when I was at Eastern Illinois, Carl was working at the Indianapolis Museum of Art, and we had met in Indianapolis.
During curator work and stuff?
He was doing registrar work, so he's helping with, they were going through a major renovation, one of the first renovations, so he was hired on to help with their renovations and get art into the new galleries
and
stuff
like
that.
Okay, so he's doing their artwork and art history work, and you're finishing up your graduate school.
And then I was in Washington, D.C. at a museum conference, and the Rome Historical Society advertised a curator's job. And this was before the internet, and so I'm calling Carl on the hard phone, you know, landline on the pay phone, going, find a map and tell me where Rome, New York is, because I'm interviewing for a job there. So I went to the interview at the conference, and it was a great interview, and they offered me a job. So then I called Carl
back.
At the conference, on the spot. I've never been to Rome, New York. And Carl's on.
But your family came from the East.
From Pennsylvania, Philadelphia.
Ah, Pennsylvania. Okay.
So I said, I think I'm going to take the job, and can you tell me where Rome is? I said, Carl, like, I don't know where Rome is. I can't. So I took the job on the spot, and Carl followed me. He left his job at the art museum and followed me up to Rome, New York, and we were there for 6 years, and it was a great six years.
I mean, you did come back to Indianapolis and pack up some stuff.
We did. Yeah. And then he actually ended up going to Syracuse University and got his master's in art history.
Okay.
So it all worked out well. So
I'm trying to get a picture of two people who are quite devoted to art, obviously have an art framing and art business where you do a lot of exhibits during the year. But does that mean all the talk at the dinner table and stuff is on art?
No, we talk about other things. But art does come in, art history. We've always been sort of wrapped up in what's happening around us and the history and all that kind of stuff, yes.
Yeah, okay. So at this Rome Historical Society, you can talk about ones that you were really interested in, but I got totally caught up with the funds you got to repatriate 100 burials and artifacts of skeleton remains of the Iroquois?
Yeah, so when I was hired in Rome, I was only there I'm just fresh out of graduate school. And
yeah,
I was there like two months.
You took the job at this conference.
Yeah, never being to Rome, New York. And I got a call like 2 months after I was hired there from a museum saying, can we extend the loan of the Native American remains we have that you loaned us? Like the museum loaned them.
Okay.
And I'm like, what Native American remains? And I remember walking into the director's office and say, do we have Native American remains? And he took me downstairs into the basement, into a side room off the collections room, and there were boxes of Native American remains and burial items and all this other stuff that the Historical Society had was part of a dig in the late 60s outside of Syracuse, New York.
Okay.
With these Native American remains. And this was a time when a new law came into place called the Native American Grave Protection Act. It was called NAGPRA. It had just gone into effect in the 90s. Like, literally right
before. So that opened the door for the potential use.
That opened the door for Native Americans to come back and say, we want our burials back, which really they should have. They should never have been
stored in the
basement. Like the way they were. And so we in Rome got involved with the state of New York and to start bringing back all the remains. They were like at the Buffalo Science Museum in Rochester. They were up in the State University of New York had them. Like, we had hundreds. So we had to pull them all back to Rome. And then we got some major funding through the Department of Interior to do a study of the remains.
Okay.
And then we reburied them. So I had to work with Chief Paul Waterman of the Iroquois Indian Nation to bring them all back to do what we needed to do and then to rebury them. So that was like a 5 to 6 year process.
I was going to say, that's not something you do on a weekend.
No, that was a long process.
Whatsoever.
And I got to spend time with the Onondaga Indian Nation outside of Syracuse, got to their longhouses, got to spend a lot of awesome time really learning about the culture and the history of the Iroquois Indian Nation.
Yeah, the Indians. I also, for whatever reason, got curious about the Griffiths Air Force Base and Erie Canal Village.
Yeah, because
which were projects.
Yeah, Erie Canal, actually construction of the Erie Canal started in Rome, New York.
Okay.
So they had a little. So that's where, because it was the flattest part of upstate New York. So when Governor Clinton started the Erie Canal, he could get the most done because he didn't have to build any locks.
Oh, okay.
So he did it so he could be quick at the beginning.
Yeah.
And then you'd get into the hard part of the lock. So it started in Rome, New York, I think in 1817. My history just popped in, right? Don't quote me on the date.
Well, we're supposed to bring history in. Thank you. That becomes very important.
So there was a village there that we also helped operate and tell the story of the Erie Canal.
Okay. And your son, George, is an IU grad?
Yep, in social work.
Yeah, in social work. And Hannah right now is a junior.
At Muncie Central.
At Muncie Central?
Yeah.
And involved in Gordy's Art Mart?
Yep, she helps work with us there. She's learning framing, and she has a good visual eye. So she does a lot. She cuts mats and does a lot of the background.
So have both of these children taken after mom and dad in terms of interest in this kind of thing?
Hannah, maybe. George is into soccer and biking, and yeah, not so much George.
Yeah. Not so. I'm always fascinated by the guests we've had on the show when they talk about their children, because a lot of times, one or two of the children are sometimes go off in totally different directions, and it's like,
right?
What are you doing? Where are you going? But they're allowed to choose their own path sometimes,
yes.
And so I'm very fascinated by that when I hear that from people.
It was always funny when we would travel when the kids were little. Carl and I would try to like see a museum on the side, but the kids didn't want anything to do with walking into a museum.
We're done with museums, Mom and Dad. We want to do something else. I love it. So. Howdy Doody meets the baby boomers and Buck Rogers to Darth Vader, toys of the 20th century. What allows somebody with your background and the intensity you put into museum work to kind of drift off on some of these sidebar exhibits that are just sound so fascinating?
So that was up in Bethlehem at the Kemmerer Museum of Decorative Arts. We did an exhibit because we were celebrating the 50th anniversary of the museum. But that happened during the time of Howdy Doody and the baby boomers and all that other stuff. And so they had a toy collection.
Ah, the baby boomers. Thank you.
So that was why we got that's why we got the baby. So we actually did a big ask out into the community. Does anyone remember their toys from the 50s? And we got all these pictures of little girls dressed as cowboys, and everyone remembered, you know, Davy Crockett, the Davy Crockett show, and the spring, summer, winter, fall. Was that one of the characters in Howdy Doody? And it was just an amazing time. The community came together. And
talking about my time, Barbara.
We just had a great time. It was a great exhibit, getting all these objects. And we worked with the Smithsonian and actually got the Davy Crockett hat that Fess Parker wore on his TV show.
That's amazing. We've been talking with Barbara Louise Schaefer. Barb, as we wind down the show, what is it that you and Carl do to unwind once in a while? Put away the frames and the artwork? Because I know you do 25 Midwest Arts annual exhibits a year. So how do you unplug?
We like to travel. We actually were just up in Chicago this weekend and saw some great theater. We love live theater. That's
And often short trips?
Short trips sometimes, even locally. Like, we love going to Muncie Civic Theater. We love what comes through Emmons. I mean, just I mean, we just love doing that. We love reading. I mean, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. There are some neat local opportunities for people.
Yes, very
like
much so.
That like to venture off and do that, and we're very fortunate to have all that, so that's very cool. I've been talking with Barbara Louise Schaefer, the co-owner, I assume with Carl.
Yes.
Thank you. of Gordy Fine Art and Framing. I hope all of you have a good upcoming week. And tune in again next week to All Kinds of People on WMUN, The Talk of Muncie. It's Dr. Joe saying goodbye.